is Kaya Biz
with Gule Tumfupi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya 959. Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
26 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. We're excited to have you lend us your ears and your minds, and of course even your voices, as you're more than allowed to participate in conversation with us by dialing in 086-000-959 and of course sharing some of your thoughts and discussion points with us. We're having a very engaging conversation now for our Careers Corner conversation, primarily underpinned by work environments. If there's anything we've discovered through the pandemic, working from home, returning to working from the office, and the various operational and working environments that we're all in, is the fact that it can actually have a significant impact on your mental wealth, mental state, and mental well-being. And this has raised a lot of questions around the kind of work cultures and work environments that we have. Questioning, are they nurturing? And if so, how to actually evaluate when you are in a nurturing work environment? And if you aren't, how to navigate that particular landscape if leaving is not an option? This is a question that we will be deep diving in. And of course, we welcome your feedback, so much so that some of you have already participated in an online poll that we have on our Twitter account. We've asked you, is your work environment nurturing? Interesting results that have come through so far. 42% of you saying, yes, I'm that fortunate and that blessed that my work environment is nurturing. 20% of you saying no, and a further 30% actually saying, somewhat. So in some spaces you feel supported, and in others, perhaps there's a significant lack there. To help us unpack this conversation and theme, and maybe offer a few guidelines as to how best we can manage these challenges, we join on the line by Feriel Domingo, who is from Inyathelo and is operations director there. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Feriel.
Hi, Guguletu. It's a pleasure to join you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited for this conversation because I think it speaks to anyone who is employed, right? Or even self-employed.
Yes.
Because fundamentally...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we prioritize our careers, we prioritize our work environments. And if they're not nurturing, they influence our level of growth, happiness, and even perception of attaining some kind of success within workspaces. But I think first things first, take us back to actually understanding work environments and how there's an increased focus now on them being nurturing in order to provide growth and success for its employees.
Yeah. To relate to, I think the work environment is never going to be the same again as we used to know it. And that's both interesting and scary and fearful and very, very challenging. So work cannot meet all our needs. But because we spend most of our waking hours at work, there has to be a way that some of the needs are met, you know. And so one also wants to try and meet those needs within a caring environment. And if I just think back a couple of years ago, you know, when the word caring environment wasn't necessarily associated with profitability.
Oh, certainly.
You know, it was just go, go, go. You know, you've got to turn this out, you've got to turn that out. And so caring happened, but you were almost responsible for that on your own. And so I think the landscape has shifted. And we now talk about a hybrid work environment. You know, some people work from home, other colleagues work at the workplace, and some do. And I mean, I don't have to explain. I think we all had a taste of it in the last 24 months, very seriously. You know, I'm sure some of us thought, is this the best way? How am I going to keep in touch with my colleagues? You know, they become friends and I'm not seeing them. And it was just difficult to navigate those relationships and to make sure that it's maintained in the best way possible while also able to deliver. And I'm not even using the term productivity, because I think that is such a negative term. You know, it puts all kinds of pressure on people and they go into all hours of the evening.
Because we think productivity is being busy, right? I need to respond to the emails. I need to finish the proposal.
Yes.
I need to put... Okay, I got you on that one.
Yeah, you do. You do think it's all about that, you know. Are they seeing my little green light flashing on their side of the screen? And it's insane that we're putting ourselves under these pressures. Just by nature, by virtue of the fact that you are working at home. This is my home. Mm-hmm. This is my workspace. I mean, this is my home. I'm now making it a workspace. There hasn't been a lot of thought into how am I now invading my private home space? And so that, again, is a big challenge. How do we nurture the staff? How do we make sure that the staff, your colleagues, the employees, understand that it's okay to talk about those things without feeling, well, you know, I could potentially lose my job if I even just say, look, I can't talk to you at 10:30 in the evening because I have to put the baby to bed, or I need to put in lunches for tomorrow, or whatever the case may be. And so I think all of those things have just thrown it on its head.
Ferial, you mentioned so many valid points, and what I'm hearing here is you underscoring how do we nurture certain behaviours, cultures, and I guess an ease of operational efficiency within the workplace. And I'm hearing that there's a lot of boundaries that you're also trying to underscore and establish here. Help us unpack how successful businesses or NPOs, which have nurturing environments, do that. So what are the rules of the landscape? What are the terms and conditions, or even the boundaries that need to be put in place?
Yeah, so it's about understanding from your team leaders, you know, what is the work that needs to be delivered? What is the best way that I can deliver that work, while at the same time recognizing that we're going through a very different setup? There's trauma happening all around us. Colleagues are getting sick, colleagues' children, colleagues' families. Mm. Our work in itself is being impacted. You know, our funding, we've lost funding. We're looking at staring at a risky financial sustainability of the organization. There's all of those things that's now been thrown into the mix. How do you set boundaries when you're facing all of those risks and challenges? And so I think it's about understanding how you support each other. But the nurturing environment is not developed by a group of people. It's developed by everyone. So you don't bring a consultant in and say, okay, tell us how to. It's us who have to do it. We have to do it ourselves. We have to co-create it. And only when we co-create it is there a buy-in, right? So if I'm being told, there's your script for the day. Today you're going to sit until 10 o'clock and then you can go and take a tea break. Those days are gone. I mean, there are probably work environments where there has to be that sort of discipline. But in the main, I think a nurturing environment is one that is created by all the employees, by everyone, managing employees. They're sitting together and they're discussing and they're talking about it. There's regular check-ins. You're talking to the staff. You're talking to the team. You're asking coaching questions as opposed to, you know, smacking someone on the wrist because they came late, or the bus were, you know, not on time, or someone got sick and you had to help. And so you're not able to deliver on what you needed to deliver. But it's understanding then, and also making people feel it's okay to make a mistake, you know. We're going to make mistakes. Let's just see how we can help each other out of that situation instead of being punitive and penalizing. That's the complete opposite of a nurturing environment.
I was about to say, you're tickling my brain cells with these themes that you're highlighting, the co-creation, having staff on board, because it's so refreshing, right? Many of us are just used to the workplace being a place with set rules and regulations, much like school, much like studying, much like going into a place where you work, you clock in, you clock out, this is the behavior, and you leave. And I'm keen to understand how creating nurturing environments has offered businesses the opportunity to, and I need to change this word, be more productive, or I guess find better financial outcomes, or I guess help us understand and unpack for employers how creating a nurturing environment does actually lead to better business and financial outcomes that benefit everybody, not just the business, but also the staff.
Yeah. So if I am part of that co-creation and I'm feeling that they're listening to me, that my contribution is contributing to a better work environment, I will certainly feel very much more motivated. I'll feel like I can even become more creative. You know, as And I'll definitely view this place as a fantastic place to work in. I'll look forward to switching my laptop on tomorrow and checking into a Zoom call or showing up at the office, you know, if it's my day to be at the office. I'll be a lot more motivated. And all of that, right, we know motivated people is more creative. And certainly, if the team is nurtured in that way, everyone feels connected. You know, in your own organization, in our own organization over the past 36 months, staff have stepped up outside of their comfort zone to embrace new pockets of work, which means they've learned new things. They're constantly searching information on how to, who's doing what, so that we can improve. Because it's us who are improving. It's our organization who's getting stronger. And so in that way, you feel so much more passion for the organization. You almost feel like it's your own company that you're running, you know, because of this kind of way that you're all working. We know that, and even if we leave, you know, even if the staff should leave, I think it would have helped to build up loyal supporters and ambassadors.
Definitely.
And we all know how important that is beyond the workplace. For example, if you go on social media, you will be able to create a following. So
yes.
You're talking about productivity, benefits for the organization. Even though the person has left, because it was so meaningful while they were there, they were able to, you know, work towards creating a more nurturing environment. They're still tagging the organization. They're promoting the organization. We think this can be tremendously beneficial for voice and visibility. And Inyatela uses the term voice and visibility, which really is about projecting your voice. And obviously the visibility part is, you know, through the media, social media, etc. And we do think people speak positively about the organization, whether they are former staff, trustees, maybe clients or consultants. It's also easier to manage challenges and transitions in that way, because that will come to your front door, you know, and then you're in a much better position, because there's not so much negativity. The morale will be up. You know, so it's better than you're better able, more equipped and stronger to deal with the kind of challenges that we've had to deal with. And let's be honest, Gugulethu, the last 2 years have thrown us into a flat spin. We didn't know how to navigate ourselves around these issues, let alone be there when staff are working remotely. They have challenges with equipment, you know, everybody's moving into the cloud, others are taking 10 years to log on.
Even sharing your content on screen. You're very right.
Yes, absolutely. So you know, being there for the staff, I mean, being able to say, we don't have a line item for new computers, but you know what? The computers we have completely sucks. Let's just bring that line item in, make sure everyone has good equipment so that they can feel better about the deliverables, the work that they need to do, and to be able to connect with each other. That, I think, was also a big thing. So that's part of nurturing the environment, when you are making sure that staff feel valued, respected. The fact, and the staff will know we didn't even have that line item, yet we've just found X amount to pay for new laptops, computer equipment, headsets, so that you can be comfortable and ease into your work when it needs to be done.
Definitely. To close off with very briefly, Ferrier, because you've already made it very clear that we do need to cultivate working and nurturing working environments through co-creation, open communication, and of course, reviewing and reflecting how best it is that companies can assist individuals to perform at their peak, whether that's responding at 10:30 a.m. to a meeting request or at 10:30 p.m., depending on what works for them. I'm keen to understand, for us as employees who might be in some of these spaces, what role can we actively play to try and change the narrative? Whether it's a corporate, whether it's in government, whether it's an NPO, but are there ways and, I guess, simple strategies that we can try to implore and implement to make sure that the HR manager, department director, the CEO also stands up and takes notice of how it is that we'd like to co-create a nurturing environment?
I think that you have to throw yourself into the solution.
Yes.
it's all good and well to sit and say, well, it's not my job to make sure that this environment is nurtured. Or, you know what, they know I have a laptop that's not working. They must just make it work. They must just, it's an us conversation. It's about coming forth with your ideas, because you know what, that person in HR or the leader of the organization, they don't have all the answers. You know, they're leading the team. That's the main. And so team must come with ideas, contributions. Of course, when there is a nurturing environment where openness like that exists, then it's easy. You know, and also I think as leaders, we need to create that open environment. The open door policy is a very old state term. But we need to make sure that the team are able to bring their ideas, that you adopt a more coaching style so that people feel that they're being heard, that they're allowed to bring forth their ideas, etc. I cannot work in an environment where everything depends on me. Yeah. I need to work with a team of people who wants to be in this team and wants the same success that I want. And so that is a fundamental, I think, ingredient in the recipe for success. Definitely. Towards a nurturing environment.
Be part of the solution. Shoo! No better words that have been said this evening. Thank you so much, Ferial. Really appreciate your insight and appreciate the passion that you've brought to the table, because we do need to shift mindsets, whether it's within the entry levels of job opportunities, middle management, executive leadership. Ultimately, the change does need everybody to cooperate and be part of the various cogs in the wheel to maintain the momentum and the movement. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you. Thanks, good later for the opportunity. Go well.
Indeed, much appreciated. That's Ferial Domingo, Operations Director at Inyatelo. Speaking about a very critical theme we need to be mindful of, how it is that we build nurturing workplace environments for us who are employees, for us who are entrepreneurs, for anybody who happens to work in multiple spaces. How is it that the spaces that you occupy and that you work in are really nurturing, not only for your own development, but for the development of your co-workers, of your peers, and of your staff? Yeah, the last 2 years have really brought about a different perspective to the world of work.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.